You're listening to Crosspoint Community Church in LaGrange, Texas podcast. To learn more about Crosspoint Community Church, including service times and how you can connect, please visit crosspointchurchtx.org.
Good morning. Glad that you're here with us this morning. My name is Chris. I'm a lead pastor here at Crosspoint. So glad that you're here at the end of summer. I mean, can you believe it's that time that we're getting at the end? It's 150 degrees outside, so it doesn't feel like we're at the end of summer, but here we are. Today, we're going to be thinking about this idea of 2 John, which we talked about last week, this idea of false teachers, and that there are many false teachings out there. And so I was thinking about that, and how does this apply to maybe more to your day-to-day life? And I was thinking about the different scams that we see. You get them to come across text or emails or all the different kind of stuff. And so as I was thinking about false teachers and scams, I think of those as wolves, as people that are looking to find somebody that's isolated and lonely and to devour them for their own needs and for what they can get out of them. And then that reminded me of this wonderful stuffed animal that I have here. I know many of you, all the kids are like, oh, that's so cute. This is like one of the few things that I have remaining from my childhood. I don't know why my mother kept this thing of all the things, but she did. And a few years ago, we were at the house, and she pulled out this little bag of stuffed animals. I had a Cabbage Patch back in the day. I mean, even guys, it was cool to have a Cabbage Patch for like a week. And but this is like the first stuffed animal that I ever had. So it's at least 25 years old. It's been around here. I actually had made Becky smell it last night to make sure that it didn't still smell like slobber and stuff from at least 25 years. But this is my sheepdog. And this sheepdog is named Dog. It's real important. And so even earlier on, somebody wanted to know if they could pet the dog. And I was like, no, the dog is working today. You can't. He's here. So he's going to be working. A sheepdog does what? They protect the sheep. That is their nature. And so when they are working, they are on the job. As a matter of fact, I have an Australian shepherd sheepdog, and she is working all of the time. That's one of the things I didn't quite understand when we first got her, but she is always looking for me to give her work to do. And so one of the things that I've trained her to do is anytime my mother-in-law gets out of her cabin, she's out there herding her and making sure she's doing what she needs to be doing and not coming to our place. And it's been awesome. It's a great thing. Everybody, if your mother-in-law lives here, you get a sheepdog. They will handle it. All right. But anyway, a sheepdog is always working, and their whole thing is to protect the sheep. And so they're always diligently looking for a wolf or a coyote or some predator that is looking to devour the sheep that they're protecting. And so that is actually a job of a pastor as well, is that one of our responsibilities and one of our roles is that we are like a sheepdog. We are a shepherd, and we protect and care for and are looking out for predators that could potentially harm those that are in the congregation, those that are in the flock together, because it's a world full of all kinds of teachings, all kinds of different things, and we are now more saturated with opportunities to hear and to learn things that are false than ever before. Through podcasts or all kinds of different stuff, you can hear all kinds of things, you can read all different kinds of things, and if your filter is not set correctly to the Word of God, it's real easy to get one degree off and to follow something a long ways away that will lead you away from Jesus Christ. And so one of my favorite comics is Sam the Sheepdog and Ralph the Wolf. This is a Looney Tunes deal, which one of the things that I love about it is that Sam the Sheepdog and Ralph the Wolf always check in for work. When the whistle blows, they take a break, they have a lunch break, and then whenever the whistle blows for the end of the day, they work. And like literally, they'll be in the middle of something, and they'll be like, all right, Ralph, it's time to go home for the day. I mean, it's just this kind of a whole thing. Like, this is that element of it's their job to do what they're doing. And so again, it reminds me of this is my responsibility as one of your pastors, as one of your elders, is to protect you. One of the things that, one of the scenes from this Looney Tunes that we can't do anymore today is one of the scenes, they actually take a lunch break. They've had their little meal, and Sam the Shepherd has a pipe, and he's smoking his pipe, and Ralph the Wolf is smoking a cigarette. And at the end of the lunch break, they put those out and go back to work. And I was like, we're not going to see that in Bluey. You know what I mean? Like, that's not going to be in there. But anyway, to remind us of the fact that we live in a world of scams and that we need to help each other and protect each other from these type of things. And so one of the scams that's around is an imposter tech support. And so this is someone who somehow or another, they call you from Apple, or they say they're calling you from Apple or Microsoft or somewhere, some software that you have on your computer. And they say that that it looks like that you have a virus on your computer. Would you give us remote access to your computer? And so you do. And then the next thing you know, you've got the blue screen of death or whatever. And the next thing they will say, well, we will offer to fix it if you'll pay the certain fee. And so you pay a certain fee and they fix it. And what they really do is they just put a bug on there and it's going to happen again and again and again. And so once that happens, throw that computer away. It's no good anymore. Another scam that's run quite a bit, as a matter of fact, I saw it on Facebook around here recently, is the government authority fraud, where someone says that they're from the IRS, the FBI, a sheriff's department, or some type of authority, and they claim that you owe taxes, that you owe a fine, or even one now is that people are calling grandparents and saying, hey, your grandchild's in prison, they got drunk, or they smoked weed, or whatever it was, and they're in prison, and they need $1,000 to get out, and so they threaten arrest or legal action, and so someone in that moment pays them, and they usually don't want anything but like a gift card, or they want you to wire money. It's a way that you probably wouldn't deal with money usually. Another scam is phishing and smishing. You get these through texts and emails as well, and these are texts and emails that mimic banks. They mimic Amazon, they mimic Netflix, or even UPS. And it says, hey, click this link now. We need to, there's something wrong with your account. And you click on the link and they take you to a false web page. And in that false web page, they want you to update your information. And then when you update your information, now all of a sudden, a different Amazon has all your info and all of your bank accounts and all that. And so you lose money. Another one that actually had this attempted at with me was an overpayment check. Is that I was in a process of, we were doing some stuff for church planting. And a check came from somewhere in Texas, in central Texas, and this is when I was in Denver, and it was this check, and it said, hey, we wanted to donate X amount of money to your church, but we can only donate X. Can you send back the $1,500 extra on there? So like a check of $5,000, we'd asked for $3,500, they sent me this, and I was like, I don't know that this is right. So I took it to my bank, explained who I was, the situation. I was like, can we just hold this and just see what it is? And sure enough, a couple of days later, the bank called me and said, hey, this is this check bounced. There is no money in this account. It's a false account. And so what they do is they send you money, like maybe you bought something, and they send you $5,000 instead of the $3,500. They ask for the $1,500 in return. You wire them $1,500, and then their check bounces, and so they're in the plus for $1,500 while you're down $1,500. Another one is an employment scam. Maybe you've gotten this via text. This is usually happens over text. It's like, hey, I heard that you're looking for a high-paying work-from-home job. And you're like, didn't know I was, but sure, why not? And they require an upfront fee for the training. And so it's a job that's going to require training because you've never worked from home before. You don't know how to operate a computer or whatever it is. You need to buy this software. And so immediately once you pay for the training, of course, you have to pay for the full $9.99, you know, upfront. There's no payment plan. And as soon as you make the payment, that company vanishes. And magically, they go away. And then one that you've probably heard the most of is called pig butchering. And it's a scammer that builds a romantic relationship, in quotations, romantic relationship with someone. And the scammer, after a little bit of time, all of a sudden has an emergency. And usually that emergency is in Dubai. I don't know why, but it is. And that emergency happens, and then they need your help. And so they're like, hey, I need $20,000 to do whatever. And you, if you have the capacity, you send it. You send them that money, and guess what? That money's gone. You never get it back before. And so maybe some of you have had that happen to someone you know. And so in each one of these scams, there's red flags to be watching for. Number one, there's always an urgent request of like, I need X now. So they put that urgency on you. It's always secretive that, hey, don't tell anyone else. I'm embarrassed. I don't want anybody to know. And then the payment method is usually different. It's gift cards. It's a wiring transfer. It's crypto, not in a way that you would normally do it. Again, so it's less traceable. And then it's normally an unsolicited contact, like, hey, I didn't know you were looking for this job, and you know, such and such. And so scammers are out there, and they are like wolves. They are trying to steal something from you. This is what we see in our normal world. Well, John, the disciple of Jesus, sees the scammers in the early church as well, that they're false teachers and they're wolves, and they're taking advantage of people that are lonely, they're taking advantage of whatever, and they're trying to teach them things that are not true. They're just a little bit, sound a little bit true, but they're just enough off to challenge the gospel. And so the two main false teachings of the day that John is fighting against is Docetism and Gnosticism. And both of these, at their core, one of the things that they taught was that the flesh was evil. And so since the flesh was evil, that God, who is holy, would not have incarnated or would not have taken residence within human flesh. But here's what I want you to understand is that whenever God created man, he said, man and woman are good, right? And so you're made by God, you're created by God. God in himself, it is outside of his character. It is impossible for God to create and to make something that is evil. He is holy and right and good. And so anything he touches, anything he creates, it is always good. So there's evil in us. Because of our human nature, we are naturally selfish, and so there are moments where we choose self over God. That's where the evil comes from, and so we have this fight between the evil human nature that we struggle with and the Spirit of God. But in it, originally, when God created flesh, it was good. And so whenever God decided that we were worth pursuing and he entered into human flesh, he was 100% God, 100% man. And so as he walked this earth, as a matter of fact, all of the gospels, they show that Jesus was a physical being because he touched people when he healed them. He ate with the disciples. He did all the things that he did. They showed the physical components that Jesus was fully man walking amongst the people. Why? Because God had to come in human flesh so that he could die a death, a human death, as God for us to clearly cover over our sins and our misgivings so that he could experience all of what humanity was about. And so when these guys are teaching Docetism and Gnosticism that Jesus was an illusion, that Jesus was a ghost, that throws out a core value, a core doctrine, a core teaching of Christianity. And so John is beginning to see this infiltrate the house churches that he's been pastoring and caring for. And so John is the sheepdog. He's worried about his sheep. He's discerning and he's diligently watching. And he's like, hey, I need you to let you know, in truth and love and community, we need to love each other well. And part of that loving is do not let people come into the community that are going to harm us and hurt us because they're seeking to destroy us. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 John. We're going to start in verse 7. And it says this, I say this, talking about truth and love, being a community. I say this because many deceivers have gone into the world. They deny that Jesus Christ came in a real body. Such a person is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now that word deceiver is a liar, a false teacher, a false prophet, a false messiah. And so it's interesting that here John, you know, he starts out with saying a deceiver and it kind of describes what they're doing, that they're denying Christ had a body, but then he comes down and he like doubles down on it. So not only are they a deceiver, but they're an antichrist. An antichrist is someone who's teaching against Jesus, teaching against Christianity. And so they're distorting the gospel for their own benefit. They're actually an enemy of Christ. And so they've invited themselves into the community. They're acting like they're a sheep, but actually they're a wolf in sheep's clothing because they're about themselves and they're against Christ and the gospel of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus kind of alludes to this. He says, beware of false prophets or people that are deceivers who come disguised as sheep, but really are vicious wolves. One of my favorite episodes of the Looney Tunes with Sam and Ralph is that every once in a while, Ralph, the wolf, will put on sheep's clothing and will like gingerly walk and try to get past Sam so that he could get to that place. One time, there's actually a deal where he zips himself up in a sheep costume and goes out and steals another sheep, and Sam unzips himself. And anyway, it's this whole process, and it's this idea that the wolf is constantly trying to disguise themselves so they can act and think and talk, and the sheep think that he's one of them, and then when they're not looking, when they're vulnerable, when they're alone and susceptible, that he creates harm for them. And that's what a wolf does in real life. A false prophet, a false teacher, is they are about themselves. There's greed and self-servingness to them. And so whenever they're trying to infiltrate a church or a community, what are they trying to do? They're trying to create something for their own financial gain, so that they can have personal power, so that maybe they can have fame, and then they can also exploit people always for their own gain and for their own good. And they find people that are isolated, they find people that will follow them, and they will take advantage of them for their own good. And that is what a wolf does, that's not what a shepherd does. And so what we need to begin to learn as followers of Jesus is the difference between a shepherd and what a wolf is, and begin to ask some of those questions. And so a little bit later on, I'm going to give you some tests that you can put up and begin to think about, kind of have a plumb line from God's word of how I can tell the difference between a shepherd, a sheepdog, and a wolf. Because sometimes they look and act and talk a lot alike. But again, one little bitty piece of direction a long ways away gets you in trouble. Think about some of the cults that you know about. What happens is they look a lot like a New Testament church and they're teaching, and then all of a sudden the pastor says something a little bit different, and so they begin to move, and over a long period of time you get some things that happen in a cult, and then you end up in Waco or you end up in Africa drinking the Kool-Aid. And listen, they don't get to that place here. They didn't start there. They started way over here teaching the truth, but then somewhere along the way, that begins distorted just enough, and people are following the way, they begin to trust them and begin to go, I don't know if that's really true, but I'm going to trust that person, and they don't question it against the word of God. And so that's one of the things that for you and I is that we need to be students of the word of God, so that even when someone like myself or someone else on the team, one of your community group teachers teach something, and you're like, I don't know, that red flag goes off, you need to go back to the word of God and say, what does the word of God actually teach? Because here's the thing, is that here at Cross Point in evangelical Protestant churches, the thing that matters most is Jesus and the word of God. That's our authority. That's our soul place. That's where our soul authority, that's where our faith is placed, in them, not in Chris, not in your pastors. We're expositors. We're teachers. We should be pointing you to Jesus. But even that, we are human people and we make mistakes at times. And so we need to constantly be reminded that, hey, even your pastors, even your shepherds, I'm an under shepherd. I serve under Jesus, but also there's a group of elders that have the ability and opportunity to question teaching and challenge teaching to make sure that we are pushing people and pointing people toward Jesus and the word of God, that that's our filter for truth and lies. And a wolf always is accountable to only himself. And so if you ever go to a church, or you ever hear a pastor and say, who are you accountable to? And he says, myself and God, I would tell you to run. Because a natural tendency of a human is to be selfish and narcissistic. And if they get a big enough platform and no one is, they're not accountable to anyone, it's easy for them to become about themselves and money and power and fame and what they're going to get from the sheep, not what they're doing to serve the sheep. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus came to serve the lost, not to gain from them. And that's the spirit of what a shepherd is. And so those wolves target the young, the sick, and all that. And so continuing on in 2 John 7, it says, I say this because many deceivers have gone out of the world. They deny that Jesus Christ came in a real body. Again, what's he fighting against? He's fighting against docetism and Gnosticism, this idea that the flesh is evil, and that the Antichrist, that they're opposed to the message of Jesus Christ. So watch out so that you not lose what we have worked so hard to achieve. So here John is saying, listen, as a community, we've worked really hard. Like, you've had these teachings and we've been working hard on you understanding them, you beginning to live out this Christian faith. And it's not an individual thing. It's we as a community, we've worked hard to get to this place. So therefore, be diligent, careful, like pay attention to the details, like listen to the pastor, listen to the person that you've invited in, and make sure that they're teaching the word of Christ, because it matters. So be very careful so that you receive the full reward. What's the full reward? One is Jesus, but then also in community. If we were living in community, as John talks about, this community of truth and love, that you cannot separate truth and love. And so there's going to be times where whenever we love someone well and we disciple with someone well, that someone's going to have to love us well. And so when they love us well, they might have to tell us the truth. And so sometimes in church, we have a tendency to love people so well, we never tell them the truth. Or sometimes we're so truthful, we don't tell them the truth in love, and so it comes across as judgmental. Those two things are inseparable in the kingdom of God, is that we love each other well, and we tell each other the truth, that it's a relational thing. And so John is saying, in the deep relationships that we've had together, be diligent that a wolf doesn't come in. Be diligent that one of the flock doesn't get alone and get separated off for whatever reason, so that they become vulnerable to harm and to hurt by this person. That's a wolf that's seeking to harm and to devour those that have separated. For anyone who wanders away from this teaching has no relationship with God. Now, this idea of wanders away doesn't come across really well in English, but what it really means is this idea is that someone has this idea that they are smarter than God, that they have an elitist attitude, that they have gained so much knowledge that they are smarter than God, and so they do not even have a relationship with God. They don't need a relationship with God, and so therefore, they haven't just casually wandered away. They've intentionally chosen to walk their own path. And so because they've chosen to want to take their own path, they are taking other people with them. And so therefore, not only do they not have a relationship with God, they don't deem a relationship with God even necessary because they're elite. They have secret knowledge. And so, but anyone who remains in the teaching of God has a relationship with the Father, that they have taught that Jesus and the Father are one, and that Jesus came and he walked among us, that he was 100% God and 100% man, and that it was necessary for him to be 100% man when he died on the cross, that that was a necessary part of the salvation process for us and for you. Salvation is dependent upon the core values. Jesus's mother, Mary, he was born of a virgin, so she had never had relations with anyone before, and the Spirit of God hovered over her, and she became with child, and that child was Jesus, and he was born physically, and he walks among us, and he died. That's why throughout the Gospel of John, throughout the Gospel of Mark, throughout the Gospel of Luke, all the different Gospels, they consistently remind us that Jesus was a physical being where he ate with the disciples, were touched, because it matters in the end what we believe. Because if we believe something wrong, again, it leads us in the wrong direction. For if anyone comes to a meeting and does not teach the truth about Christ, don't invite that person in your home or give them any encouragement. Now, this is interesting because in the early church was known for their hospitality. And so when someone was traveling through town, especially a traveling rabbi, a traveling preacher, they would receive them in. And you have to remember that church back in that day, most of the churches early on were house churches. And so because most of the early Christians were Jews. And so on Saturday, they go to the synagogue. On Sunday, they go to work. And then they would have Christian worship usually on Sunday evening because they've gone to work and now they're gathering together. And so they would invite people in to teach in these house churches. And so John, as the pastor in Ephesus, would have churches all over Ephesus, but then also in the other surrounding towns. And so these pastors are going to the outskirts of the churches that John would pastor and have relationship with, and they're teaching these false things. And so John's like, listen, if you invite someone in and they teach something contrary to the scripture, contrary to Jesus, do not let them stay in your home. Kick them out. This is very strong language that John is using, especially amongst the community like that. Listen, parents, adults, I think what we mean by this, most of us aren't having Pastor Chris come over and do Bible studies. I don't have that kind of time. I would love to eat with you. That'd be great. I don't turn down many meals. But what it means is that there are teachers that you invite into your home that you need to kick out. That you have TV shows, you have books, you have podcasts, you have things that you've invited into your home, and the red flags in your mind and your heart and your soul go off. The buzzers go off, and you're like, I don't know if I should be watching this. I don't know if this is true. In that moment, turn it off and kick it out of your house. That you, as a follower of Jesus, that us as followers of Jesus, we have to be cognizant of the fact of what do we allow into our heart? What do we allow into our lives? There's a piece of education, but then there's also a part of what are we going to allow to educate, especially young minds, that there's things that we hear and we see and we don't realize how it's shaping us and making us think and challenging things. And again, one little piece of false information that we believe and we begin to act on leads us in a wrong direction. And so for you and I, that there are things that we should not be hospitable to. And if someone is teaching something and you're inviting it into your life and you begin to adopt it, it can radically change and shape who you are and how you think about Jesus. So anyone who encourages such people becomes a partner in their evil work. I know even some of you, like, you've adopted, there's this new thing called the Angel Network. And so y'all have watched The Chosen or you've watched some different movies. And I know some of you are investors in that. And I think that's beautiful. And one of the reasons that when I talk to people, like, why are you doing that? They're like, because I believe that we can have quality entertainment that can be invited into my home. And I trust what they're bringing in because some of the other things that are being produced and brought into my home are very contrary to what I believe and how I think we should do. And I think that's some of those things that we need to, as believers, we need to not check our brains at the door. There is not a disconnect between faith and intelligence. As Christians, too many times we are ignorant. We choose to stick our heads in the sand to ignore the things around us because it's costly and because we feel like we don't have enough information. But if together we gather together and say, listen, there's some things that we've been allowing into our homes that we're not going to allow into our homes anymore. We're going to push a full stop on it. People will begin to listen. Because what do they worship? They worship money. And if our money doesn't go to those things, they're going to stop producing things that doesn't produce money for their house because they want and they will do whatever they can to get money. And so even if they don't believe in the stories of the Bible, they will start producing them if that's what we want to watch and that's what we want to have invited into our home. That's a bonus sermon, by the way. I have much more to say to you, John says, but I don't want to do it with paper and ink, for I visit with you. When I visit with you, I want to talk with you face to face. Then our joy will be made complete. That literally face-to-face, I like that it's translated face-to-face because in the original it's a little scary. It literally means mouth-to-mouth, that we're going to get close together, that this is, I want to be in a space as your pastor, that I want to be intimate with you in a way that I want you to hear what I say. Because here's the difference, like you've all experienced emails or texts and you're like, I don't know if they're happy or if they're sad. It's hard to read body language. It's hard to read tone. It's hard to read intent sometimes through texts and emails. But when you sit across from someone face to face, you can read their body language. When they say, hey, listen, I love you. I care about you. You can see it. You can hear it in their voice. And so here's what John is saying is like, as your pastor, as your sheepdog, I want to be sitting with you face to face, and I want you to have no doubt with clarity how I feel and how the word of God is about these false teachers. I want you to draw a line in the sand and say no to things coming into your home. And that the best way for him to do that is face to face, over a cup of coffee, over a meal, and say, hey, listen, I want you to know the truth and be sure of the truth. So he closes out the letter. He says, greeting from our children, the children of our sister chosen by God. In other words, the larger church. So what are some tests that you can put before yourself to see if someone's a false teacher or a wolf? Number one is the fruit test. What is the moral character, actions, and lifestyle of the teacher? In other words, does their life match up what they teach? What are they doing? And so we're able to see that. Matthew 7 says, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. That is by the way that they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good true tree can't produce bad fruit and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Listen, this is why you choose your friends. Like you, as you're growing up, one of the things that hopefully you learn is that there are people that cannot be in your life because the fruit that they produce is toxic. They are drama. They live on drama. They live on toxicity. And you're like, listen, I love them, but I cannot have them as a regular part of my life. And so here's what he's saying is like, listen, there are pastors and teachers and shepherds that their whole purpose is for themselves and they're looking to devour you. Look at their actions. Look at their life. Make sure that they're saying, hey, that what they say and what they do line up together. So that's test number one, fruit. Number two is doctrine, that examine the core theology that aligns and make sure it aligns with the historical beliefs, especially with Jesus and the Word of God. It says here in 1 John, dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God, for there are many false prophets in the world. This is how we know that they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. In other words, if they're teaching the historical orthodox teachings of the church, that person lines up with Scripture. But if anyone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the prophet, the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist. In other words, they are fighting against the good news and the message of Jesus, which you heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here. The third part of the test is the scripture test. False teachers often twist scripture out of context and declare new revelations contrary to the Bible. Again, normally for their own benefit. If you claim to be a prophet or think you are spiritual, you should recognize that what I am saying is a command from the Lord himself. Here Paul is teaching, this is in the context of authority and leadership. And so what Paul is saying is here is that if you don't, as a pastor or a shepherd, doesn't place themselves under the authority of a group, then there's some problems. You should question that. And so here at Crosspoint, we have elders, and the elders can question me about my character. They can question me about my teaching. They can question all these different things. Chris, what kind of fruit are you producing? Why? Because I need to be under authority, because my natural bent as a human is toward myself and selfishness. And so if any pastor you ask them, say, who's your authority? And they say, myself and God and no one else, then we have a problem. Because our natural bent is toward ourselves and building up a platform for ourselves and not about God. We want the applause of men when we should be seeking the applause of God. And so the only way that that can consistently be the case is if men and women are alongside challenging you and questioning you and putting you up against the Word of God. That there should be opportunities for you to say, hey, I don't understand. I need clarification about a different thing. I want to come seek you out and talk about it. Let's look at it. What does the Word of God say? Because that is our foundation and our source for our faith and for our life. Final test is the gospel test. Do they preach salvation by grace through Jesus alone? That is the good news of Jesus, is that Jesus loved us enough that he incarnated, he made himself available through flesh, walked among us, died a physical death for us, and rose again, and that through his works and us saying yes to his works, we can have a relationship with God for all eternity. That is the good news of Jesus. It's not something you and I do. It's not something that we earn. And so even yesterday, I was mowing the yard for like 75 hours. And in the midst of that, one of the things that I do is I listen to podcasts. And there was a podcast of a guy who's, it's a really popular podcast. This guy has recently, I believe he says he's come to Christ. I'm not fully convinced yet, but he's asking the right questions and he's thinking about things. And he had a theologian on there that dealing with spiritual warfare and all the different stuff. And the closing question that he asked him, he's like, hey, as a Christian, what are the things that I should do to grow close to God? And he began to list off all these things. And all these things were duties and responsibilities, like don't eat meat on Friday, so you know where he's at. Don't eat meat on Friday, go to Mass, sacrifice some different things. And he started listing off all the different things. And never once did he say, pray. Never once did he say, be in community or be in a community group. Never once did he say, you know, sacrifice in such a way that, you know, hey, this is a relationship thing. It was all about things to do. And there were several other things that he said throughout the podcast that I wanted to go through and beat him. In the name of Jesus, of course. Because I'm like, that is... not true stuff. And so here's one of the things that's a false teaching that I hear quite a bit, is that sometimes people will say they're demon-possessed. Y'all have heard this? Y'all have heard of this? Okay, it's a true thing. People can be possessed. But here's what I want you to know. If you are Jesus's, if you have been claimed by him, if you've said yes to him and he's claimed you and he has ownership over you, the scripture says when you say yes to Jesus, you are now his, you're adopted by his, you are his child. He, the Holy Spirit now has taken residence within inside of you. He owns you is what it says. If you're owned by Jesus, you cannot be owned by a demon. You cannot be possessed by, you can be influenced by, but you cannot be possessed by. God would not allow that to happen. It is contrary to his character. It is contrary to scripture. And so therefore, if someone is possessed, that means what? They do not know and have Jesus. So you can go to church. You can do the church things. You can know about Jesus and not know him and be known by him. But once you know Jesus and are known by him and you know him and you're in relationship with him, he owns you, he possesses you, you are his. You're not available to anyone else. Even when you want to give up your adoption papers, he's like, the adoption papers are sealed. One of the cool things is that when God says he adopted us, in that culture, when you had a child, a biological child, you could disown them. But if you were adopted, you were in a contract with your parents that they could not break. It's a covenant that could not be broken. So God says, you are my child. I have adopted you. I've entered into a covenant with you. I cannot get rid of you no matter how bad you act. And we can be stupid, can't we? So once you are his, this is what I want you to get, is that theology matters. So where he says that the curse fall on anyone, and that word curse means that someone who's devoted to separating the sheep to harm them. Let the curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. I say again that we have said before, if anyone preaches any other good news than when we have welcomed, let that person be cursed. And he continues on in Galatians 4, but when the right time came, this is the gospel, simply, when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God sent his spirit of his son into our hearts, the deposit of the Holy Spirit, prompting us to be able to call out, Daddy, Father. We're in a relationship with the Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but you're God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. All the rights and privileges of God, all the rights and privileges that Jesus has earned on our behalf are now ours through Jesus. We've entered into a covenant relationship adoption with him, and even though we can do stupid things, our daddy never disowns us. We live in a world full of scams and full of false things, a world of AI. We don't know what's true sometimes. False teachers are seeking out people that are lonely, wanting to hurt and to harm them. Don't get scammed. Spend time in the Word of God. I want you to know Jesus. I don't want you to know about him. I want you to know him. That's one of the things that our core value here at Crosspoint is, to point people to Jesus. Because once you know Jesus, that changes your relationship with your finances. It changes your relationships with your relationships. It changes everything about your life. As you apply the good news of Jesus and how Jesus lives and thinks and loves and acts, it will radically change your heart and life. I want you to know that Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth in them. Thank you that the truth sets us free. Father, I pray that anyone in this room that has and is believing a lie, that is leading them astray, leading them away from Jesus, leading them away from a community of Jesus followers, that you would put a hard stop on it. Father, that you would put red flags around them so they would sense and see the scam, that you would give them your eyes and not wander away from the truth. Father, we love you. Thank you for your sacrifice and your gift of Jesus. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Crosspoint Community Church podcast. It is our prayer that this message was encouraging to you as you follow Jesus. For more about Crosspoint Community Church, you can find us online at crosspointchurchtx.org. Have a great week.